ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
I feel very honored and very much at home here with the Nupsan and Sanut's home and family and all of you. You're all from Vrindavan or something. I was just in Vrindavan for the last 5 weeks. I go there every year for Kartik time, and I stay put in that place. It's a good place to be during Kartik. And when I leave, it's always very difficult to go. And going away from that place is a very sad occasion. But when I come to your home, and with all of your friends, I always feel like I'm back in Vrindavan. So I'm very, very happy to be with all of you, because the holy name is always flowing here. And wherever the holy name is flowing, that is Vrindavan. It doesn't matter anywhere you go in the entire creation. This is, Srimad Bhagavatam says, Narayana paraksarve nakutashchana pibyati swarga pavarga narakeshu apituliyarta darshana. That a true devotee of the Lord doesn't care for heaven or hell. He sees them both equal. It's the same, because the devotee is always looking how to serve Krishna, whether it's in the swarga or naraka. Either place, he doesn't care. It's the same thing. Service is always available to Krishna. And I see that in all of you, that this is your modus operandi to serve Krishna. Even here in Japan, which seems to be a very materialistic place, but it's inconsequential to those who are connecting through bhakti yoga to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when I heard that I was coming here tonight, I was very happy. And the last time that we came to your home was 5 years ago, right? And it went, any of you were here for the last time? Yeah? It went by, we just were talking, it went by very quickly. And the whole life goes by very quickly in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is mentioned by the Avadhuta Brahman, Labvam Sudulabham Idam Bahusam Bhavante, that human life is very rare. We Labvam Sudulabham. Sudulabham means it's very difficult to get. You can't buy it. You get this by as a special gift from material nature, because we don't choose which body we get. When we transmigrate from one body to the next, it's taken by daiva. Daiva netrena, Bhagavatam says, this decision is made by someone else, not by me. So when we come to the human form of life, labvam sudulabhamidam bahusambhavante anityam. It's very temporary, but apihadira, if you're a little bit dira, if you're a little bit sober-minded, you can take full advantage of the human form of life, because it is very beneficial, the human life. It is not the life of devas. Devas have a disadvantage, believe it or not. They live for astoundingly long periods of time. They have wealth beyond what a tiny human could imagine or accommodate. And therefore, it's more difficult for them to concentrate on bhakti, on service to God. Because if someone told you, we are giving you an unlimited bank account, you have now $10 trillion, and you're going to live for another billion years, maybe you wouldn't be as serious as if someone told you, you have 50 years to go, or less than that. So human life is anityam. It's temporary, but it's extremely valuable. And therefore, when we come to human life, which is also beneficial, that the Srimad Bhagavatam describes how this earth planet, we're in the middle situation here in the universe. If you go to the mall, the first thing you might look for is a little sign that tells you the map of the entire mall. Hare Krishna. And there's a little dot there that says you are here. And if that's gone, it's very difficult to understand which way to go. So Bhagavatam also tells us where we are in the cosmic situation, we're right in the middle. And the door is on this floor for leaving the material world, going back to God. And very specifically, these holy tirthas like Vrindavan are considered to be the exit way for going back to the spiritual world. So there are many advantages, and I'll tell you something that will make you also very happy, as if you weren't already, but if you ever feel a little bit down, I'll tell you a secret that I read in the Bhagavatam that will make you happy. Should I tell?
Yes,
please. Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, and he says, of all the different species of life, I like the humans. So just the fact that you're human means Krishna likes you. Because human life is especially meant for dharma. And it's the best advantage. No, our joy is only increasing. How is everybody? Good. I think tomorrow is the Purnima here?
Yes.
Tomorrow. So this is a special month also, this Kartik month. There's a very long scripture named the Kartik Mahatmya, which tells about all the benefits of Kartik. You know, anybody here like to shop? Anybody will admit if you like to shop? So if you go shopping, right, then you look for the time when there's a sale, maybe. If they say 50% off, you don't go the next day, you go that day. Then if you go the next day, everyone says, what were you thinking? You missed it. So in bhakti, in the practice of bhakti, there are special advantages given in the scripture. So you need like an attorney. The guru can be like the attorney. You go to the attorney and say, you tell me the loopholes, all these things, because they're always studying the book. So a guru is supposed to study all the shastra and find out what's the best way someone can actually improve their life spiritually. And they can find these things. So throughout the shastra, there are many special offerings given by the Lord. So in each day, there's a special time when you can make spiritual advancement, every day. When is that? Yes, early morning, and very specifically, if you're measuring according to the Vedic calculations in Muhurta, there are Muhurtas, and some people are very expert at this. They study the science of Muhurta, and they see what is beneficial time to make a deal or to start something, right? So, but every day, we have what's called Brahma Muhurta. This hour, 40 minutes before the sunrise. And you can calculate that easy. It's not that early. If in the West, we tell people that, you know, before sunrise, what? Wake up before the sun? But those who are eager for spiritual life, they know that if you take advantage of this time, you get more benefit. And you can, it's very practical. If you practice your japa during that time of the day, you'll notice it's very easy. If you try it at noon, you'll notice that it's very difficult, or more difficult. And there's many distractions at that time. So Brahma Muhurta is the time. And in the month, there are times also, like Ekadashi. Ekadashi is a special day. It's called Harivasara. Harivasara is given in scriptures the day of Lord Hari. So every other day is for something else, because life is so consuming. There's so many duties to do. So a day, actually 2 days in a month, on the 11th day of the waning and waxing moon, there's this time called Ekadashi. It's a special day, an opening, when if you increase your practice of devotional service, you get more benefit. Ekadashi. Then, during the year, what is the time when there's a special offering? Kartik. Exactly. So during the day, during the month, during the year, and during your life, the end of life is especially. But when is that? We have no idea. In fact, one time, you see, when my spiritual master started his Hare Krishna movement, he was attracting many young people. And some of them became very serious in spiritual life, and he needed to build an army in order to spread this all over the world. So he gave some of these young men sannyas when they were young. So one professor asked my spiritual master, so sannyas is for old people, when they get old, after 50 at least. And now 65 is the new 50, they say. So why are you giving sannyas to old people? My spiritual master said, what do you mean by old? And he didn't know what to say. What do you mean by old? And my guru said, old means about to die. Can you say you're any older or younger than I am? No one can say. How do you know what old is? Because we don't know. There's no guarantee that comes when you're born. So back to the Kartik Mahatmya. I'll tell you a secret that is in the Kartik Mahatmya. It's an open secret. The great benefit in Kartik comes from offering a lamp to Krishna each day. And so there's a story in the Kartik Mahatmya about this, the great benefit you get from offering a lamp, a simple offering of a lamp to the Lord during this month. Once there was a mouse that lived inside the temple. And he had a very nice way of surviving. And that was that he lived on ghee. Where do you think he got the ghee? Ghee lamp. Because they make these little deeps. They soak some cotton and a little bit of ghee. And then they offer for the arti. And then it burns down, and sometimes it doesn't burn all the way. So they put it to the side. So this mouse, he would come out at night, and he would pick up the used ghee lamp. And then he lived, a nice fat mouse. So one day, he came out during the Kartik month, and he found a ghee lamp. It just had a little spark on the end, because it wasn't quite finished. But it was already offered, so he began eating the ghee. But his tooth got stuck on the lamp. And now the lamp started to burn again. And he couldn't get it off. So now the heat was coming close. His whiskers were getting burned. So he was on the altar, and he began jumping up and down. Lord Narayan is standing on the altar, and he sees this mouse is offering me a lamp during Kartik. Therefore, Shastra says, this mouse then, in his next life, he became a very exalted Brahmana. And from there, he went back to Godhead. And so Kartik Mahatmya says in hundreds of different ways that great benefit comes from offering the Lord a lamp. This really touched me, because this is the essence of Krishna's teaching in the Bhagavad Gita also. He says, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati taraham bhakti paritam ashnami paritatmanaha. If you offer me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it. And where do you get a leaf? What's the answer to that?
From the tree.
From tree. Where do trees grow? Yeah, but where do you find trees?
In places.
Places where? And how about America? You find them in America, you think? What about India? No, we do have trees in America, I guarantee you. At least before I left, we had some in California. I know many of them burned down, but the answer is everywhere. You can get a leaf anywhere. You can get a fruit practically in any country, right? You give good answers. I'm going to ask you more questions, so be ready. A leaf, a flower, fruit, or water. It means you can get anywhere. And he says, if you just offer me with devotion any of these things, I will accept it. This is how close we are to Krishna. In the Sri Ashupanishad, Yarijati Yadnaijati Tadure Tadvantike Tarantarasya Sarvasya Taru Sarvasya Sibayata. The Upanishads, they speak in very enigmatic ways. So the Lord is far away, but he is very near as well. He's within everything, and yet he's outside of everything. What is the practical application of that? He's so close. He's the closest one to me all the time. But I don't see him. Why? I'm looking elsewhere. I'm looking everywhere else, but I don't look here. I don't see him here within my heart. So Krishna gives this practical way of performing bhakti. He says, offer me a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. But how do you offer? In this verse, he says three times, with bhakti, with love. No reason to offer. I don't want anything in return. It's just a gift. It's just like a little child. If on the mother's birthday, the child goes out to the garden, to the mother's garden, and picks a flower from the mother's garden, tiny child, and comes in to the mother and says, here, I got you this. Mother planted the garden. Mother cultivated the flower. Flower belongs to the mother. It's the mother's birthday. The child goes out and plucks the flower and brings it in and says, I got you this. What does the mother think? You stole my flower? Does she become irritated? Her heart melts because she thinks, he thought of me on my birthday. It's my out of love, my little child. He offered me something. So Krishna's the same way with us. He owns everything. He's making the trees grow. He's making the fruits. I can't make a fruit. There's no scientist in the world that can create one avocado. If you give MIT, Harvard, what's the big ones in India? IIT, and in Japan, the one here? Temple, all of them. You give them a $1 trillion grant, and you say, you make one avocado, please. I say that because it's my favorite fruit. Make one avocado. They'll say, I'm sorry, sir, I cannot make an avocado. Only Krishna can make that. And so it's his thing. But if I offer that, if I appreciate, first of all, that this came from God, this is how simple bhakti is, it's appreciation. In the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami is teaching Maharaj Parikshit. He's having a teachable moment. How often do we get teachable moments? Sometimes it's very rare. Because it's possible to go through a whole morning without thinking of God, isn't it? Say yes. Please say yes more. Yes. Is it possible? It'll make me feel better. Okay, so is it possible to become preoccupied and go through a whole day and forget God? Possible? Some people know. I'm asking the wrong audience, perhaps. But many people, they go on with their life and whole day, 24 hours can go by, and they're thinking of so many other things. They don't really think very, very deeply about God. Possible a week, somebody could do? A month, they could forget? And a year?
1 year.
10 years?
Year maximum, because every year you think of God and you thank Him for the whole year.
But let's just say somebody doesn't believe in God, they could go 10 years without thinking anything about the Supreme. My point. That's the point. So you could go whole lifetime, right? So Krishna gives this simple way, as Parikshit Maharaj was learning from Shukadeva Goswami, just try to look around and appreciate. If you see a tree, he said, you'll notice it's holding its arms out and it's offering unlimited fruits. The fruits are being, who thought of that? Who thought of putting a fruit in a perfect wrapper? And then who put the seeds inside so you can grow more? And how is it that there's so many fruits that you could feed a village practically with one tree? Shukadeva Goswami is teaching this very simple point about looking at the world through eyes of love and seeing that Krishna has made all this. So the very simple practical practice is offering whatever one normally takes to Krishna. Krishna says in Gita, 9th chapter, Yat koroshi arashnashi yaj johosi dadasi yat yatapasasi kontiya tat kurushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, do that as an offering to me. So this is how simple bhakti is, to connect everything to Krishna and make it arpanam, make it an offering unto Krishna. And the most practical thing we do every day, what is that? What is the time of day that most people look forward to at least three times a day? Ah, thank you. My favorite time of day. In fact, we have a prayer in our ISKCON society. It's a Bengali prayer. that we learned from one of our acharyas. It's called, starts off, Sharira vidya jao jodendriya tahika jibe pele vishayasho gode. So this is a special prayer we say before we honor prasadam. So one of my friends, when I was just in the UK, he said, my favorite bhajan, Sharira vidya jao. As it means, time for prasadam. So a very practical point is that one of the essential practices of bhakti is to take prasad. And those who are very serious about bhakti, they're very careful what they eat. In the Gita, Krishna says, live a balanced life and be very careful about don't eat too much, don't eat too little, but take prasad. Take that which has been offered. This changes everything, because when you offer before you eat, then you have to think of Krishna. And during that most crucial time of day, before you're just about to eat, you make a simple offering. And it can be very simple, offering to Krishna. And thinking, when you're cooking, that I'm making this for the Supreme Personality of God and I'm offering to Krishna. So this is a very simple practice of bhakti. And of all the practices of bhakti, the gateway practice is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam as Shravanam Kirtanam. That means hearing and chanting. So we were just in Govardhan. That's where I stay during the Kartik. And we were listening every day to the Srimad Bhagavatam. We were studying very deeply with a group of devotees. And we found a section in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that mentions the holes of the ears. They're very tiny, right? However, inside is as big as the sky. So you can hear more and more. It will go in through this small hole, but it retains, it stays with you inside. So the beginning of bhakti actually is by shravanam and kirtanam, by hearing and then repeating what you heard. So this is very practical also, because God gave us two ears. Check and see if they're still there. No, go ahead. See. Yes? Did you ever feel appreciative that you have two ears? I don't think about it much. You look in the mirror and you think, oh, if you're missing one ear, you'll think, oh, what happened? But it's actually an interesting instrument. If you look at it, it looks like a little satellite dish. It's engineered very carefully. If you cover the top part, the sound can't go through this bevel and into the ear. Is designed. There's a higher design to this. It's meant for hearing. And according to Bhagavatam, there's two purposes to this world. One purpose is for material enjoyment. The other purpose is for liberation. So Krishna's idea is to give everyone a chance to make up their own mind. And Krishna's not a fanatic. He just gives in the Bhagavad Gita all the information that you need to know, and then he leaves it to you. He says, now you know, now you do as you wish. But his desire is that everyone advance spiritually. And the best way to do that is simply by hearing. It's such a simple thing, because if you stay in the environment where the spiritual sound vibration is being emitted, then just by that one activity, the sound goes in the ear, it goes in the heart. So Bhagavatam gives many, many verses about the power of this, what's called shravanam. Hearing. Here's one. Shrinvatam swakata krishna punya shravana kirtana hridantaksto hibhadrani vidunoti suhritsatam. This verse says, Lord Sri Krishna, who is the Paramatma, the super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So you'll notice in this verse the word vidunoti. There's a machine that you might have seen in India that is used to purify cotton. This cotton, when it gets picked, it has all kinds of seeds and little fragments in it. So you put it in this vidunoti, it's got some strings. And when you pull them tight, they make a vibration. You put the cotton on it, and then pull it tight, and then they make the strings vibrate. And from there, all the impurities fall through to the bottom. And on top, you get nice, fluffy, white cotton. So the all difficulties in life, Prahlad Maharaj says, they come from one's own uncontrolled mind and senses. There's nothing outside can affect you if your own mind and senses are controlled. You have no enemies in this world except the uncontrolled mind and senses. So what is the simple solution to controlling the senses and purifying the mind? That is through the process of shravanam. You are a product of what you hear. So the Vedas are called what? Shruti. Shruti means because it's something that you hear. It's a vibration that you hear. And this verse I'm saying, Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna. Especially if you hear topics about Krishna and by Krishna. So about Krishna you'll find in Srimad Bhagavatam, especially Ramayana. And by Krishna, what is the primary place you'll find his premier instructions? Bhagavad Gita, the most important book in the whole world. And in India, if you ask most people about Bhagavad Gita, they say, I have Bhagavad Gita. I know Bhagavad Gita. My mother read the whole Bhagavad Gita every day. My grandfather memorized Bhagavad Gita. Won't they say something like that? But nowadays, who reads Bhagavad Gita regularly? I'll tell you who reads it. The person who feels happy and satisfied in life. Because just by reading Bhagavad Gita, one gets perfect intelligence. Because nobody can compare to the intelligence of Krishna. There are millions of bestsellers out there, people very smart, and they write books about how to get some edge in life, in business, and this and that. But only Krishna has completely transcendental intelligence. And anybody who reads it will see that for him or herself and appreciate, I'm hearing from something much higher than anything else available in the world. And that's how close Krishna is to us, the Bhagavad Gita. Who would have thought that book, if one simply reads a little bit of Bhagavad Gita every day, his or her life will change completely. You'll see everything in proper perspective. Your decision-making power will become spiritual. It's hard to make decisions, isn't it? Please say yes. I just want to make sure it's not just me. There's so many difficult things to decide in life. It never comes in such an easy way. Oh, it's this, not that. It's always like, I'm doomed if I do either one. But when you read Bhagavad Gita, you get transcendental intelligence. And also, you learn how to distinguish the difference between matter and spirit. And this is the great art of yoga. Yoga is not meant for becoming supremely healthy or beautiful. Yoga is meant for one thing, Krishna says. Kshetrajnam chapimam vidhi sarva kshetri shubharata. Kshetra kshetrajnoyo jnanam yatach jnanam matam mama. He says, here's my opinion. My opinion is, yoga is meant for coming to a clear understanding that I am not matter, I am spirit. And being able to see the difference between the two. Because that makes all the difference in the world. If I think I'm my body, then I think that I'm threatened by non-existence at any time. Because this body, after all, is constantly in flux. It's always changing. I can't keep it. I can't keep my hair. Of course, I was proactive on that. You can't keep your money, you can't keep your skin, it's always moving off. And you can't keep your youth, it's constantly changing. And the source of all anxiety is this one misunderstanding, thinking that I am my body. And how does that manifest? Some people think, I'm a man. Someone else thinks, I'm a woman. Someone thinks, I'm American. Someone thinks, I'm Indian. Someone else thinks, I'm a cat. Someone else thinks, I'm a dog. These are all misconceptions, Krishna says. You're none of these things. Because you're only an inhabitant of a temporary vehicle. Kshetra. It's just a field. Kshetra jnam chapivam vidhi sarva kshetri shubharata. Kshetra kshetra jnayo jnanam if you have this jnanam, this knowledge that there's a difference between the kshetra and the kshetra-gya, that means the field and the one who knows the field. And that changes everything, because we are not part of this world. The Vedas say something so astounding that after you hear this, your life will never be the same. And I'm about to say it. So if you don't want your life to change, I ask you to cover your ears right now. No? Simple phrase. Asango hyayam purushaha. The Vedas say, soul, speaking to the soul, you have nothing to do with this world. You're not part of this world. You're from a different category of energy altogether. Categorically different. Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhumir apu analovayu kammano bhutirevacha ahankara itiyame binna prakritir ashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. These are the lower energies. And that's what comprises the body and the mind and the intelligence. Lower energy. Then he says, apareme tasanyam prakritim vidime param jiva bhutam mahabaho yayedam darite jagat. Above this lower energy is the higher energy, and that is the Atma. That's the self. And the self is beyond matter. It's categorically different. The soul is not created by a combination of matter. This is a wrong theory, and it can't be proven by anyone. No one can take matter. If you give them unlimited resources, say combine matter and make life, they can't do it. It's a complete bluff, and everyone believes it all over the world. But Krishna comes out and says in the Gita, categorically different, the different energies. This changes everything, because I'm not really a part of this world. I'm a part of a different world, different category of energy. So I'm showing that Gita gives us an advantage in life, a transcendental advantage. So one practical aspect of bhakti is you are what you eat, not just in body, but also in mind and spirit. Krishna goes through many descriptions in the Gita that if you eat food that is in the mode of ignorance, then you'll become ignorant. If you eat food in the mode of passion, you'll become passionate, rajas. If you eat food in the mode of goodness, you'll look very effulgent. But if you eat food that is transcendental, that's prasad, food already offered to God, then you'll become transcendental. That's practical, because you are what you eat. And the second is hearing. You have to hear the right sound vibration, because there's only two choices, and here they are. There's material sound vibration, and there's spiritual sound vibration. How many choices are there?
Two.
So, if you hear material sound vibration, then your mind becomes laden with anxiety. I'll give you an example. Anybody here ever watch the news? One person. Two people. If you watch the news, anybody know about Stephen Covey? He wrote the 7 Habits of Highly Successful People. Yeah? So he writes in there, he says there's two circles in your life. One circle is called your circle of influence. That means something you can actually do something about. Then there's a much bigger circle, and that's called your circle of concern. Now, as an example, not to pick on the news, but I like to because they're full of hot air. The news, you listen to it, and you're going to hear 99.9% of things that are in your circle of concern, but not in your circle of influence. Things that you can't do anything about yourself, right? Nothing you can do about it. But then, if your mind goes there, in the circle of concern, then you're just full of anxiety. So, if you hear the wrong vibration, your mind will become full of anxiety. But if you hear a vibration that takes you into your circle of influence, and what can we influence? What Narada Muni says in the Srimad Bhagavatam is, you have a great influence over how you advance spiritually in life. What happens to the rest of your life materially, you can't do much about. And you want me to prove it by Shastra? Shastra says, Tyaktva sadharmam charanam bhujam harer, bhajana pakvota patetta doyadi. He says, Narada Muni says that whatever you're going to get in this world comes because of your past activities. So everybody gets a certain amount of good things and a certain amount of bad things that come automatically. Tasyaiva hetu prayateta kovido na labhyate yad brahmatam upariyata. That there's an apportioned amount of happiness and distress. So he said, don't try so much. And the way he proves it is, he says, do you ever get anything that you don't like even without asking for it? Please say yes. Okay. So he says, in the same way, you don't have to ask for good things to come, because according to your karma, on the material side, they're going to come automatically. He says, therefore, concentrate your energy on how to advance spiritually. And the number one recommendation, practical, in the scriptures is be careful what you hear. Because whatever you hear will enter the ear and then it will go into your heart and it will stay there. In California, I live in San Francisco, near San Francisco in the suburbs. And we have a large bay there called the San Francisco Bay. You've heard of the Golden Gate Bridge? That's across where the ocean enters into the huge bay there. Now, all around what we call the Bay Area, there are storm drains, just like in any other city, where the water runs down the gutter and then it goes down into the storm drain. But in our area, on every storm drain, there's a placard with a picture of a fish. And then it says, no dumping drains to bay. It means wherever you are, you can be 25 miles away. If you throw something in there, it goes into the system, and eventually, because water seeks its own level, it ends up in the San Francisco Bay. And over the years, there's an accumulation. Someone thinks, oh, this is not very important. I'll just throw some oil down here from my car. Change the oil, car, throw it in the gutter. It goes down, goes in the bay. No, that causes, over time, great pollution in the San Francisco Bay. So they say, no dumping. So one day, I was walking along, and I was chanting my japa, doing a walk around the neighborhood and just chanting. And I looked at that sign, and I thought, my ears are just like these storm drains. There should be a little sign up here that says, no dumping, drains to bay. Because it goes in here, and where's the bay? It's my heart. There's a bay in there. And the sound vibration enters here, it accumulates in the heart, and it stays there. And Shastra says that the heart is actually the driver of this chariot. Whatever condition my heart's in, that's what directs me in life. In fact, even when I leave this world, the state of my heart is what carries me to my next life. Krishna says, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tajyante kalevaram tam tami vaitikonteya sadatad bhava pavita. Whatever feeling you have in your heart when you leave this world, whatever subject matter most attracts your attention when you leave this world, that's your next destination. So the way to change the heart, and this is the process of bhakti yoga, to change the heart from attachment to the non-permanent to attachment to Krishna. And how to do that? It's a simple process, by hearing. So if anyone invests 5 minutes a day, even less, if you just invest 1 minute a day in hearing Bhagavad Gita, you'll notice the pure vibration goes into the ear, it ends up in the heart, and it's an absolute, it's a transcendental sound vibration. Because when Krishna spoke to Arjuna, it was 5,000 years ago, but the recorded message that's there in the Bhagavad Gita, which, by the way, has not been changed, other scriptures have been interpolated over time, but this Bhagavad Gita has been very much protected over time. The sages have watched it very carefully. There's no change in the Gita over thousands of years. This can be documented. It's the same conversation that took place. When you hear that vibration now, in your home, doesn't matter where you live, that's the same vibration that Krishna made 5,000 years ago. There's no difference at all. This is the science of transcendental sound. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ramayana, they're transcendental literatures. And if you take a little time every day, then you get this effect. This is called vidhunoti. The heart becomes purified, the intelligence becomes clear. So I mentioned eating. You change your eating habit just a little bit and eat prasad as regularly as possible in the act of offering to Krishna. Then hearing a little something every day. And after you hear, the natural tendency is to speak. So whatever you hear, that's what you'll speak. So if you watch the news, then when you come sit down with the family, you'll say, guess what? 20 people got... I won't even mention what happened. Anything. Could be anything. That's what will come out of your mouth. But if you hear Bhagavad Gita and you speak Bhagavad Gita, then everybody becomes purified. So the third very practical process of bhakti is to chant. And this is one of the best secrets from the Padma Purana. And it says this: Atashi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Graimindriye Sevan Mukihi Jivado Swayameva Spratida. So this verse that I just quoted is about the jihwa, about the tongue. This is a little instrument. Notice that it's there. You got one? It's shaped like a rudder on a ship, because that's what it is in our lives. The tongue is like a little rudder. It determines which way we go. So this verse says that all advancement in spiritual life begins with the tongue. Atashi Krishna Amari Nabhaved Graiminyu means you can't see God through your blunt senses. It's impossible. He's adhoksaja. He's beyond what we can see. However, it says, if you begin yoga with your tongue, then Krishna will reveal himself to you. And so if you utilize your tongue, I already mentioned about how the two things you can use your tongue for. One is taking prasad, and the other is speaking about Krishna or chanting Krishna's names. So if you just every day repeat the names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then this begins the yoga process in the most profound way. So there's two ways. One is called japa, and japa means, ja means birth, pa means sin. It's the way to wipe out future birth and sin. And my godbrother Hanumat Prashek Swami likes to say japa. So this is jaw, you use your jaw, right? And you use your hand because you hold your beads. This is your paw, japa. In any case, it's a very sublime activity to do a little japa every day. Especially, you can get some beads, you can chant on beads. You can count on your fingers. There's a method, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. If you're moving about the world, I have somewhere in here a tally clicker. You know, just click, click, click. I carry that sometimes on the plane. I've got luggage I get on. And sometimes people see me, they lean over, excuse me, can I ask you a question? I say, what? What are you counting? Because they see a little hand. I said, I'm counting my blessings. And they go, wow, you have a lot. You create your own blessing when you chant japa. You can chant as much as you like. And just by repeating the name of the Supreme, and this is the essence of what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught over 500 years ago of advancement in spiritual life, very practical thing. He said, Nam nam akari bahuda nija sarva shaktis tatrapita nimahita smanane nakala itadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi dura daiva midrishami hajini nanuragaha. This says, Krishna has many names, unlimited names. Who here knows the Vishnu Sahasranam? Someone over here? Okay. This Vishnu Sahasranam, you go on for half an hour. These are all names of Lord Vishnu. And then there's so many names of Lord Ram. And there's so many names of Lord Krishna. So this verse says, Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis. There's unlimited names of God. So he says, every one of those names of God, Nija Sarva Shakti, it has all of God's power within the name. He's there, personally, because God is absolute. There's no difference between He and His name. So he says, Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarvashak Tatrarpita Nimahitasmananik. You can take advantage. You can have direct contact with the Supreme. Sometimes people are searching for God, and there's very ethereal ways that they say you find. Like somebody says, God's in heaven. Have you ever heard that? So that's like you're looking for water. You're very thirsty. And then someone says, well, it's in the cloud. Go get it. Good luck. God's in heaven. How do I find heaven? Where is heaven anyway? I can't see anything. And then someone says, I'm very thirsty. Give me water. Someone says, find a flash flood. Those happen from time to time. You read about it in the news. You know, flash flood came. It was, where is it? It was over there. It's like, how are you going to be there for the flash flood? That's like taking birth at the same time as an avatar of Krishna comes to the world. Someone else says, God's in your heart. Find him. It's like the yogis. They have to go deep within their heart. So that's like saying, you know, dig a well. And if you want to dig a well, find water? No. But Shastra says, water in the palm of your hand. You can just drink like this. This is the name of Krishna. You can take any time. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, there's no time or circumstance that prohibits you from chanting the name of God. Your tongue is built for that. And if you simply repeat with concentration the name of God, you'll feel for yourself direct contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All of His energies are there. And that's where real happiness in life comes from. It doesn't come from any external situation. And no external situation can make us unhappy either. It's all dependent on my state of heart. And my state of heart is dependent on my consciousness. And the consciousness, through the process of yoga, which is given in all the scriptures, especially Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, is very accessible, the change of consciousness. Through eating, the right thing. Through hearing, the right thing. And then speaking the right thing. And the best thing to speak is the names of God. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went everywhere, barefoot, all over South India, house to house, town to town, and he taught everyone simple process, just sit together and chant the names of God. And you'll feel His presence. This is called Sankirtan. Samyak Kirtan. Samyak means together, and Kirtan means to glorify. Kirti, to increase the fame of the Lord by singing His names. So these are three very practical things that anyone, anywhere can do. Keep Bhagavad Gita very present in your life. Keep Bhagavad Gita wherever you go. If you're standing in line at the store, does it ever happen to you? Do you have to wait in line ever in Japan? Everywhere. Anywhere. If you keep with you Bhagavad Gita, you can have it on your phone. Now there's a phone app. It's a book app of Bhagavad Gita. It's so nice. You can just open your phone. You have it open anyway, right? You have a choice. You can look at Facebook or you can look at Bhagavad Gita. Which one will give you more happiness? Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita. Only be careful, because next thing you might get distracted. So if you stay close to Bhagavad Gita, or if you make it a regulative part of your life that you read Gita every day, you try it for a month and say, what happens to my consciousness if I just read one verse of Bhagavad Gita or five verses of Bhagavad Gita every day? You try this experiment, you'll see everything is there in Gita. It's as deep as the ocean. It can't be breached. It can't be, you can't plumb the depths of Bhagavad Gita. It's impossible. It comes from an intelligence that's beyond anything that we can imagine. It comes from Krishna. And you can experience Krishna directly. When He says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mam, which means me, you'll feel He's speaking directly to you, because He is. And then chanting. Chant Hare Krishna, and you'll experience for yourself that even if you don't see God in the chanting, even if you don't feel ecstasy in the moment, what you will notice, especially if you practice a little japa every day, is when you walk away, you go to your work, you're dealing with your family, whatever you have to do, you'll feel a little bit more detachment than you had before. This is called vairagya. And you'll also get some gyan, some knowledge. And knowledge means to see the difference between matter and spirit. You'll be able to handle the world in a different way than you were before. And you'll wonder, where did this power come from? It comes from the holy name of Krishna. And you are built specifically by Krishna to do this. In fact, this is what Srimad Bhagavatam says. The human life, the human body is an instrument. It's high tech. More high tech than the iPhone 10. So high tech, what is it meant for? It's meant specifically for hearing about God and chanting His names. That's what it's built for. And for understanding the Supreme. You can actually understand the Supreme with the human brain. It's so powerful. So this is the very simple practice of bhakti that anyone can do in their home. You can do it in your workplace. You can do it in your car. Anywhere you go, you can take this vibration with you, and you can also take prasad. Hare Krishna. This is a very popular place. Everyone's coming from all over. Hare Krishna. Welcome. Not at all. You came at a good time. So, before we do some chanting, if we could take just a few reflections. There's a difference between questions and reflections. Question means I have to answer. And reflection means anything that you heard that's stuck in your mind, that you thought, I can put this in my pocket, what he just said, and I'll take it out, and I can use this. Anything like that, you just reflect back. We'll take a few reflections. Tell me what you heard. Yes. Yes. Perfect. Exactly. Thank you very much. Very practical. So we eat. It's the center of our house. The kitchen is the center of the house, isn't it? And if you put Krishna in there and make it a conscious choice that this is being cooked, offered to Krishna, then it changes the whole household. Very practical. Yeah. What else?
You hear everything but absorb.
Yeah, it all goes in. We're actually very porous. The vibrations from the world go in us. And yoga means to be very specific about what you let in. This is what yogis do. Bhakti yogis are very careful about what vibrations they expose themselves to because they know this trick. They know that the vibration actually affects the state of the heart. It changes our consciousness. So that they deliberately expose themselves to spiritual sound. And it's like radiation. You don't know it's there at first. Radiation, you can't tell. You can't detect it with your senses. You need a little machine that says, oh, there's radiation. So in a positive way, would you can?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. We'll bring you then when we go.
We get radiated diamonds and I detect it. Get a tingling in your fingers, everything starts tickling and that's how you come to know. My next question is, how do you filter good vibration from bad vibration? Because your ears open all the time, so you get both vibrations.
Yes.
So where's the filter?
Yes, I like the example of the tingling fingers because if you pick up the Bhagavad Gita in your hearing, you also begin to tingle if you're spiritually advanced. It's a practical matter. Our consciousness, the mind is an instrument and it can be used in very deliberate ways. So the Shastra describes how the mind works. It says, first of all, there's perception. And perception is dependent on where you put your attention. Just like if you're reading a book, it's possible to not be aware that you're reading the book. You can be thinking about paying your taxes or not paying your taxes, whatever the case may be. When you're reading a paragraph, and you can go through a whole paragraph, your eye was in contact with the letters, but you have no idea what you just read. Have you ever had an experience like that? Yeah, so that's true with our environment. In order for the senses to actually perceive something, they have to become aware of them. And then the next thing that happens is called interpretation. Whatever we take in through our senses, the mind then interprets and says, this is good, this is bad, this is not. And that's dependent on our state of consciousness, how we've evolved our consciousness. So there's a way in which we can move about the world, Krishna says in the Gita, and live like a lotus flower lives in the water. The lotus is called Pankaja. It's born out of mud at the bottom of the pond. It grows up through the mud and through the water, but it's never touched by the water. In Osaka, I always go to that botanical garden in the summer to see the lotuses. And they're growing in the water, And they're lying on the water, but they're never touched by the water. And you have to see a lotus to see what Krishna means when he says that in the Gita. So in the same way, the yogi's very much aware of the vibrations in his or her environment and is careful to not give full perception to the vibrations that are either not useful for one's occupation or for spiritual advancement. It can be selective. The mind is very powerful like that. So it's very possible.
Mind is also a battlefield that depends whether your mind is in control of yourself or whether your logic and your brain is in control. So your mind can be your best friend or your worst enemy also.
Correct. This is Krishna says in the Gita, your mind, the mind that's unbridled, and this is using the metaphor of a horse. If you have a horse, it can be very valuable. But if you don't train it, it just runs wild. So similarly, you only get one mind, right? You got the same mind you had when you were born. So he says, take care of it, train it. This is yoga. You have to train the mind. If you don't train it, it becomes your worst enemy. And if you train it through yoga, then it becomes your best friend. It can take you to higher consciousness. It can help you in many different ways. What else did you hear? Just reflections.
Do satsang.
Do satsang. Yes. Satsang means, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, satam prasangam amaviriya sambhido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata tajoshanad ashwa pavargavartmani shadaratir bhaktir anukramishati. Bhagavatam says, satam satsanga means to associate with people who are making a higher sound vibration. Because if you stay in that vibration, then you change from pavarga, which means the path of birth and death in the material world. That means pa, pa, ba, ba, ma. You know Sanskrit, right? Pa, 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 ma. So these syllables mean, pa means that you have to work very hard in this world. And pa, pa, and then you have to work so hard that foam comes from your mouth. This is from the Shastra. And then it says, pa, pa, ba. Then you're fearful while you're doing it because you might lose it all. Pa, pa, ba, ba. And then there's a way in which no matter what you get, you're going to lose it. And then ma, then death comes. So this is called the path of the material world. But when you have satsang, you get apavarga, which changes it from the path of birth and death to liberation. And that comes from hearing in good association. Three more. Yes. What's that?
No dumping.
No dumping. Drains to bay. There's a... And someone might ask, how is it that the human, and this is emphasized in the Vedas, the greatest asset that we have is our hearing capacity. We can hear our way back to the spiritual world. And one day I was walking in a forest in California. It's called Muir Woods. It's some of the last redwood forest that's still there in California, or in Northern California. It's a very beautiful place. There's a stream that runs through it. And there's these fish called salmon. And they're a very important part of the ecosystem. So one day I saw the forest ranger. He had these long boots on. And he was in the middle of the stream, and he had some tongs, and he was pulling little pieces of trash out of the water. So I went over to talk to him. I said, so what are you doing? He said, I'm taking out micro trash. I said, what's micro trash? He said, you know all the things we consume? Little parts break off, or there's gum, or there's wrappers. And all those little things, they end up blowing into the stream. And he said, it disturbs the fish. I said, how does it disturb the fish? He said, their sense of smell is so keen that when some of these particles, these foreign particles, get into their environment, it obstructs their ability to find their way from one place to another. And then he told me something that astounded me. He said, these salmon are born in these little streams in the forest. And at a certain age, their body starts to change, and they get ready to make a journey to the ocean. From freshwater stream, they swim all the way down, and they enter the ocean. And biologists have measured, some of them, they swim for 2,000 miles one direction or another in the ocean. And after a couple of years, they come back to the same stream that they came out of, and they swim upstream. And they go all the way to the original pool that they were born in. And there they they have offspring, they mate, they have offspring, and then they pass away in that same place. And after he told me this, I was thinking about the Vedic directions, that how powerful the hearing is. And I was thinking the fish, they use their sense of smell, according to the scientists, to find their way back to that original place. And human beings, they can use their sense of hearing to find the spiritual world. The paramdham, the spiritual world, can be detected through the process of hearing. Our sense of hearing is so strong, and it can direct us in that way. So there's no dumping and triangulating, finding our way back to the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Two more? Yes.
As you said, that me and my body is different.
Yeah.
My body is not me.
Yeah.
Then why all the karmas which we do by our body belong to me?
Well, how does it belong to you? You can't keep it. What belongs to you means you can keep, right? But we can't keep anything. I mean, I had this realization about 5 years ago. Every year I go to Govardhan for the Kartik. And I stay in an ashram. And at the end, I always go and give a donation to the residents, the mahant who takes care of the ashram. So this one year, the first day I was there, I went to Radhakund to take my bath. So I went there, I had a gumsha. I put my gumsha, I took my clothes, I put them on the bank, I put my gumsha, and I went down and I went into the, took my bath in Radhakund. I turned around, I looked back, all my clothes were gone. What else? My pen, my notebook, some rupees in my pocket, everything gone. I asked a few people, I asked the monkeys, did you take it? They said, it wasn't us. I said, when something's gone in India, it's gone. If it was Japan, I'd wait there a couple hours and they'd bring it back. But in India, it's just gone. I don't know, nobody knows, it's just gone. So then I walked back home, I had about another 8 miles, I had to walk back in a gumsha. And I was walking along, yeah, I'm a sadhu, see, I only wear a gumsha. But I walked back into that ashram. I went to my suitcase. I took out the money. And that very day, I gave it to the head priest. I said, here's my donation. I'm giving it early. Why did I do that? Because I had a clear understanding. It reminded me of a joke I once heard. There's two guys walking in the street in New York. Two friends. And then a man jumps out with a gun. He said, okay, hands up, give me all your money. So one of the friends, he tells the gunman, he says, no problem, I'll give you, but wait 1 second. So he reaches in his pocket, he pulls out his wallet, he takes out $20, and he turns to his friend. He said, Larry, here's the $20 I owe you. So we can't keep anything. It's all taken away by time. One way or another, it all goes away. So those who know this, they preemptively give everything away to Krishna because they understand he owns everything. We don't get to keep. We're just renting this. It's a rent-a-car. It's a no permanent contract. Contract, actually, with a rent-a-car, you know how long you get to keep it. With this body, there's no contract. You don't know how long you get to keep it. It could go away any time. So it's not ours to keep. It seems like it is, and that's the problem. But knowledge means to understand the difference, that I'm only passing through. This is just a temporary stopover. Temporary vehicle I get to use for some time. One more.
Listen,
yes.
Listen bhajan in the morning.
Yes.
Every day.
That's right. Start.
You like good stuff.
That's right. That's just a practical advice given in the Shastra. That's a good, I like that very much. Yeah, you have to be aware and present. We were talking on the way over here. You can get into any religious system and then do it automatically. Some people don't even know why they're doing it. And this is, they do because of cultural momentum. Why do you do it? I don't know, my parents did it. And I see in India, when I'm on Parikram going around, everyone goes around this tree, that tree, and then everyone follows. 10 million people go around and say, why? And it's like, I don't know, they did it. So I was telling the devotees on the way over here a story about the cat in the basket. So there was a priest, and he was teaching his disciples how to do a wedding ceremony. It's very elaborate. There's all these parts. You have to learn this and put this there. Then after that, this goes here. And you have to say this, then that. So many technical things, right? So they're all learning from him. So then this cat, it's coming through the window again and again. It's playing with everything. It says, no, don't touch. Take the cat out. So cat, there's a broken window. It keeps coming through. So finally the priest gets a little bowl of milk. He takes the cat over in the corner. He says, okay, kitty, you drink this milk. And puts a little basket, and he makes the cat go to sleep. And he goes, okay, now we'll finish. So that 3 years later, the priest has passed away. Now the disciples are performing the wedding. So they come out, and they're just about to start. And one of the students comes up and says, wait, hold it, we can't start? Why not? There's no cat in the basket. Have to get a cat, put him in a basket, feed him some milk. Otherwise, the ceremony cannot go on. So this is possible in spiritual practice. It's called Niyamagraha. Niyamagraha, it means two things. You can do things without thinking. This is called Niyamagraha. It's a dual word. Niyamagraha, Niyamagraha. It's two meanings in one. So Niyamagraha means you do it with enthusiasm, but you have no idea why you're doing it. You just do it. And the other is called Niyamagraha, which means you don't do it. You quit. And you just forget your practice. So the acharyas say, don't do either one of these. Don't do it without knowing, and don't stop doing it. So you have to, this is a very good point you're making, you have to be aware of what you're doing. And here's a very simple tip for japa, which my good friend Satyadev Prabhu taught me. You know he's a meditation master, so everything he does is very conscious. So he said, when you chant japa, be aware that you're chanting. Such a simple thing. But it's possible to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and be thinking about everything else in the world except for that. You're not even aware. You finish chanting your japa, and it's like, did we chant japa? Hey, I think so. However, if you become aware, I'm chanting now, and you bring your consciousness to the point where this is, I'm repeating names of God. And Krishna tells Uddhava in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the way you purify a mantra, make it more effective, you study it. You think, what is this? What's really in this? And then the mind becomes a little fascinated.
What about like if your belief system changes? Like if I talk about myself, I was very, very, very devoted to Krishna itself. But now I'm totally a different person. If you talk about myself, I don't chant that often. I don't do my puja that often, but which I used to do like long years. Like I have did Kartik for years, going temple in the morning and everything. But now I'm a different person. Like how to get your belief system get back to it? Because you know what is right, what is.
He said it. Wrong. What is your name? Yeah.
Sailesh
said it. Satsang. Everything happens by sangha, association. Sa anga. Say, we're tiny. We're very tiny. The Bhagavad Gita says, Jayato Visham Pumsam Sangas Te Shupajayate. It says, we're open to the influence of the world. And whatever we associate with, we become, because we're so tiny. In Shastra, it's described how the Atma, the individual Atma, is called Tatastha, which means marginal. It can go any direction, means open to suggestion. So if you have association with those who are spiritually advanced, then you develop enthusiasm. And always best, if you have a practice and then you drift away, which is usually what happens, but then you want to come back, you can do by tiny increments. Don't try to do everything at once. Spiritual life is so powerful that if you just do a tiny little bit every day, this much, well, that much. Every day, something, it will have such a profound effect and you'll want to do more if you do it consciously. And if you do just 1 minute a day very consciously, then it'll grow. Because we do what brings us happiness. And this is one of the principles of the Gita. Krishna says, we do what attracts us the most, what actually makes us happy. And if you're not attracted, then you won't do it. It's just simple. So you have to practice spiritual life in such a way that you get a taste. You have to get a taste. And once you get a taste, then you'll do anything. Because it's not time, it's taste. Everyone gets the same 24 hours. And we choose how we want to use it. So now, I brought my drum from Vrindavan. I just got this mridanga. And I just have a simple tune of Hare Krishna. And we can do a Sankirtan. And also, we can sing this Damodar Ashtakam. And I will need a copy too. Where's the master drummer?
Master drummer here.
Oh, do you have your? Is it tabla?
I have kafo.
Okay. Is this a tutel? Yes, good idea. Yeah. Yes. How do you realize that you're becoming spiritual?
From a normal person, you're becoming spiritual. Does that mean you're
yes. I'll just answer this last question and then we'll take a break. So she asked, how do you know that you're advancing spiritually? So I'll just give you what it says in the scripture, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It says, Bhakti Parishanu Bhava Virakti Ranyata Traisha Trika Ekakala. It's a very simple thing. It says, just like eating food when you're hungry. When you're hungry and you eat food, do you know that you're getting nourished? Do you feel satisfied? And does your hunger go away? Does anybody need to give you a certificate that says, by the way, your hunger's going away, you're getting nourished and you feel satisfied? Do you need a certificate? No, because it's a direct process. So same thing, if you practice bhakti, spiritual life, then it says, bhakti parishanu bhavu virakti anyata traisha trika ekakala. When you practice spiritual life with full consciousness, then you'll experience, just like a hungry person eating food, knows that I'm getting nourished and happy and satisfied. And similarly, you'll have this experience. It's natural to feel bhakti in your heart. It comes out. It's already there. It's not something outside. Parishanu bhava, you see for yourself through your own eyes. You see the world in a different way. And most importantly, it's called virakti. Virakti means you develop a sense of perspective and detachment from the world that wasn't there before. You know, have you ever been driving in a car and somebody cuts you off? Probably not in Japan, right? Maybe in America or India. So we have an America thing called road rage. People become very angry. There's so many things that can agitate us, but you'll feel in spiritual life when you make advancement that you're able to become detached. You're not reactive. So these things, they're defined in the scripture, and they tell these are the signposts, and you'll see it in yourself, just like you'll see in yourself when you're hungry and you eat food. Hare Krishna. I think so, but I think we have to take a break because, right? I think we'll do. Okay, question. Yes. Well, you don't open your heart. You don't open your heart. There's an old story about this, about the monkey. You want to hear a story about a monkey and an alligator? Say yes. You know the story? Okay. He said, he made friends. Monkey made friends with the alligator, right? Take you home. So the monkey gets on his back, and then the alligator says, taking you home so I can eat your heart. And then the monkey says, oh, you should have told me. I left it in the tree. So he brought him back. And he went up in the tree, And then he said, oh, I'm not coming down again. So the point is in the story, although you have to interact with many people in the world, association really means opening your heart to them. Because this is the definition of faith. It's Shraddha, Shabde, Vishwas, Kahe, Surudha, Nishtray, Krishna, Bhakti, Kwele, Sarva, Karma, Kritahoy. Faith in Sanskrit means Shraddha. Da is an active verb. It means where you put something. And Shrad means the heart. So it's where you place your heart. So if you're interacting with all kinds of people and vibrations, but you don't put your heart in it, you're just official. You say, yes, sir, thank you, very good, that sounds great. But you're not into it. It doesn't go in the same way. As if it's not like you can keep your heart protected. That's the whole point. And if you have your own spiritual practice, then you know what that means. And you'll relish keeping the same thing in. You relish keeping your heart protected.
Natchariyar Marman, Natchariyar Marman, Natchariyar Marman, Natchariyar Marman. Hey, Natchariyar Marman, Natchariyar Marman, Natchariyar Marman, Natchariyar Marman.